Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one, because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, the podcast where we reminisce about our geeky childhoods with our un-geeky beer. I'm Tim.
And I'm Frank.
And today we're going to be talking about the seminal work of geekdom in the comic industry. We're going to talk about Ultimate Spider-Man.
Oh, I love that TV show. It was so great, wasn't it? It's such a great show. Okay, so let's talk about it.
You don't even have cable. Shut up.
What? No.
What?
I like that show.
You like that show?
No.
No. I actually, before we start talking about the comic, I actually do try to watch the show.
Yeah. Is it worth trying to watch the show?
A couple of episodes I always tried. It's just geared towards a younger audience.
Yeah.
Like, it's flat out geared towards little kids to sell toys. Okay, you know, a while back we were talking about our favorite toys.
Yes.
And we had... You had a Spider-Man on a motorcycle.
Yes.
Ultimate Spider-Man has Spider-Man on a motorcycle in most episodes.
Oh, wow.
He has a motorcycle from S.H.I.E.L.D. that he drives around
in. It's pretty bad.
And I saw it after we talked about it. I said, oh, no. Why? Why are you doing this? Anyway, let's talk about the comics.
I love this comic.
Me too. So tell me about your love for it.
So a friend... told me, hey, if you like Spider-Man, you should really read this comic.
Was this friend me?
Yes.
Oh.
I was building to that.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. I was building to this. Yeah. You told me, like, oh, man, if you like Spider-Man, because I think I asked you, you know, I said something along the lines of, I really like Spider-Man. I have not really read very many Spider-Man comics per se, but I would really like to, you know, get myself into that world a little bit, and this was, you know, years ago now, but yeah, so you said, okay, read this. You actually, I think, let me borrow your volume one.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, and you're like, read this. I read it every year, you know, check it out, see if you like it. And I fell into it. Like, I just got so into it. I absolutely
love
this book.
Bit, as it were.
I was bit by the spider. That
man.
Is
not actually though.
Spider, comma, man.
Yeah. I fell into it differently because I don't think I had a friend being like, you need to read this book. Because it start the Ultimate Line started in 2000, which was before I got into comics. Started reading comics, I want to say seriously, in about 2005. And so Spider-Man had been out for Ultimate Spider-Man had been out for quite a while at that point. They had released already a serious number of trades and all such things like that. But I remember I was going into my junior year of college, and I was working at the campus over the summer. And the previous year, I was at a different place. I was at a different college. I transferred into a different school. And lost my train of thought. Okay, yeah. And so my friend... had said that, like, oh, you know, I have this comic store that, you know, from the town that I'm from, you should go visit it. Turns out it was the town over from where I went to college. All great things, stuff like that. And so anyway, so when I was going into my junior year, I was already a comic reader, but not like heavily. I guess I was, but I didn't have a comic store that was great at that point. I'm going to plug New England Comics. It's fabulous. It's a franchise, but that's where I was going.
It's a great store.
It's a great chain of stores. Yeah, it's a great chain.
You've taken me to a couple of them now.
Yeah, there are quite a few.
Yeah.
And so all around New England, if you will.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
That it's called that.
New England.
And it's only in that place. Like, that's just, I don't, It's like a weird coincidence that they only have them in New England.
Texas Roadhouse is also not only in Texas, so you never know, you know? And so, anyway, so I remember getting paid for my, for like, for the job that I was doing over the summer, first paycheck, okay? And I remember going to the store, instead of saving the money, you know, like a smart person,
yeah.
I went into the store with all the money, and I mean, in the bank account, but I went all the money, and I bought every single volume of Ultimate Spider-Man that existed up until that time.
Oh, wow.
You're talking like anywhere between $15, $20 a book.
Yeah.
And then I $15, $20 a book. And at that point, maybe they were like, I don't know, maybe 10 volumes, something like that.
Probably.
Yeah. So I'm talking like, let's say I spent like $400.
Oh, my God.
Just dropped all this money on the Ultimate line. And I went home that weekend, because the job was only until Friday afternoon, and then I picked it up Sunday night again. And so, I read 10 volumes in the span of Friday afternoon until Sunday evening.
Wow.
Somewhere in there.
Wow. So you just sat there and read all weekend.
Literally sat and read all weekend, which is something I can say that I actually don't do very often. I'm a generally oriented people person. I like to go out. And so now that I'm getting older, I and more in fact like to stay in. But, you know, I don't have the energy to normally read by the time that the weekend rolls around.
Right.
College. I don't know what you would call it.
Youth?
No, it's not enthusiasm. It's like...
Young enthusiasm.
Drive, I guess. Yeah. And so anyway, adrenaline. College adrenaline, sure. I'll call it. And so, but anyway, I read all the way through, and I've been an avid reader of it ever since. All the way up and through spoilers. Wait for it. The death of Peter Parker. All the way, through Ultimate Comics, the introduction of Miles Morales, all the way back into recently the reintroduction of Peter Parker into the Ultimate Universe.
Yes.
Apparently he wasn't dead.
That's so surprising and so different for comic books.
That's so new, a character that's resurrected.
Yeah.
How new for us. And as of time that we're recording this issue, we do not yet know this episode. We do not yet know why Peter has returned from the grave and is a mystery as of right now. Of course, as I say this, the comic is probably going to be released this Wednesday and we will find out. But you know what?
So by the time you hear this, you'll probably know.
You will probably know. Oh, you will absolutely know by the time that you listen to this. But that was my disclaimer. I was just incredibly avid reader of it. And I mean, I love Spider-Man growing up. I used to watch the Fox show was definitely my introduction to the character, and the 90s Fox show, and the 70s and 80s Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, just singular adjectiveless Spider-Man, all of those things. Those were definitely my introduction to the character. And so Ultimate Spider-Man being this new 2000 reinvigorated look on the character, influence for the Sam Raimi movies,
right,
and like
right.
all that, because they kind of combined the Ultimate line with the original story, you know, genetically altered spider as opposed to just quote unquote radioactive.
And, right.
I love it, but I'm a big fan of Brian Michael Bendis to begin with. I like his writing. Some people say that like all his characters are the same, like they're the same voice all the time. Even if that's true, I don't care because it's all in good fun.
It's a great voice.
It's
so
a great voice, so yeah. I don't care.
No, it's true to an extent, but it works so well with Peter Parker that really, who cares?
Yeah, right. Who doesn't? Does not matter.
It's like all, maybe his voice is very similar for all his characters, but it's okay because that voice that is common to so many characters that he writes is Peter Parker.
It's the and that's it.
That's it.
It's the Peter Parker voice. And so, to me, to kind of gear, a lot of people give the Amazing Spider-Man movies crap.
Yeah.
But I like Andrew Garfield's portrayal of Peter Parker more than Tobey Maguire's because I feel like Ultimate Spider-Man is my Spider-Man.
Right.
Like, that's
right.
When I think of Spider-Man, that's who what I go to. And that's how he plays it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So, you know, he's sarcastic, he's quippy, he's funny, a little bit of a punk in his own way. you know, obviously everything that describes me. I'm such a punk.
No, but he's less brooding than Tobey Maguire.
My bow tie. Excuse me for a second. Yeah.
But he actually was wearing a bow tie today. No, but he's less brooding than Tobey Maguire.
You think Garfield, Tobey Maguire was brooding?
A little bit.
When?
Every time he, like, in the first movie. Okay. Or anytime Mary Jane was around, really. It's like, but MJ, I love you. And, like, I love those movies.
Okay, that's true. Yeah, no,
I do love
too.
Those movies.
Yeah. Do you love Spider-Man 3?
No. I like good movies. But I really loved Spider-Man, the first Spider-Man. And then I thought Spider-Man 2 was even better, which I've found myself defending that opinion to people a lot in the last several years. I really thought it was a better movie than the Doc Ock was awesome. And
Spider-Man 2 is one of the greatest, hands down, one of the greatest superhero movies made.
But I just find myself, you know, people disagreeing with me, which is fine. I mean, that's totally cool.
Those people haven't seen that movie in a while.
Maybe. And I feel like
not fans of Spider-Man to begin with.
True. Or I mean, I feel like a lot of people just have it confused with Spider-Man 3 to a large extent. But anyway, I love that movie as well. Spider-Man 3 was just, I was excited. I was so excited about it. Like, at that point, it was like, all right, great. They're making another one. Like, this is awesome. And I think I've always had some skepticism about sequels, but whatever. Then I saw it, I was horrified. But we're here to talk about the comic. Let's talk about the comic a little bit.
We could talk about the films at another time.
And I think we will.
Okay. The comic. I have a couple questions for you that I have answers to myself this time.
Okay.
So, all right. So, Ultimate Spider-Man was famous for reinvigorating characters. That's the whole point of the Ultimate line, to give them new backstories, new costumes, possibly new races, new genders, everything.
It was basically a new take on these characters. Marvel said, like, let's go a different direction. It's a different universe. It's not
not tied to the limits of this one.
Exactly.
I credit the Ultimate line for not only obviously influencing a lot of the bulk of superhero films that have come out over the past couple of years, past decade, really.
Yeah.
But to make fans say, it's okay when things aren't exactly like I read them.
Yeah.
Ultimate Line was really good at that. It was embraced that way. But my question for you is, do you have a favorite reinvigorated origin?
Of a character from Ultimate Spider-Man. Aside from Peter himself, I really like the origin of the character themselves.
I will get more specific for you.
Okay.
A character that was altered to fit the 2000s, not a villain, because I'll have a different question for a villain. Because it's not really a reinvader origin. You could say, like, I like the Aunt May in Ultimate Spider-Man more than regular Spider-Man.
Other than Peter himself, I think Nick Fury, actually.
Really?
I love Nick Fury in that series.
Oh, yeah. No, well, okay. I'm going to get... So, disclaimer. I reread Ultimate Spider-Man every year.
Right.
Every summer, I always reread it. Which is getting harder and harder because there are more issues.
It's getting longer.
No, so it's getting harder. 10 volumes is one thing. You're getting into almost 30 volumes now. Like, this is difficult. This is a lot of reading time. I got other stuff. I got to reread Harry Potter too. Like, come on. So Ultimate Bald Nick Fury, Sam Jackson lookalike that we know and love, first appeared in Ultimates comics.
Mm-hmm.
But race altered black Nick Fury with hair first appeared in Ultimate Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I know. Intriguing.
I'm learning things now.
Or maybe it was Ultimate X-Men. No, it was Ultimate Spider-Man. Yeah, he first appeared with hair, and then Ultimate Comics was released. The Ultimates was released after that, and that's when they were like, hey, let's make him look like Sam Jackson.
Right.
I agree with you. I think Ultimate Nick Fury,
awesome.
So much so that even the 616 universe is now...
Mm-hmm.
Black Nick Fury. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and while he had hair, mm-hmm. he was like Sam Jackson attitude. It was definitely
the attitude.
Based
the look wasn't
on,
quite there, but yeah.
But it was based on Sam Jackson characters.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. That's good. Okay, so favorite rebooted origin for a villain? or look. I'll do both.
I'm going to go with Origin. I'm going to go with Black Cat.
Really?
I have an attachment to Black Cat.
I think every male who reads comics has
an okay, not that. Okay, yes, but I grew up watching the 1981 Spider-Man series, as you know. and in particular, the episode four episode entitled "Curiosity Killed the Spider-Man."
Yeah, I know. Exactly
wherein
what you're talking about.
The Black Cat steals the Maltese Mouse, and Spider-Man has to save it.
From the clutches of the Black Cat.
Right.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. So I knew the Black Cat from that.
I had that same exact episode on tape. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, we both grew up watching the same tape.
We've had a lot of good bonding moments over that tape.
So, because of that I used to get that confused with Catwoman when I was a kid. I used to not know the difference between Black Cat and Catwoman. Well, I was like five. Like, I didn't know anything. I was like,
smarter.
It's a cat. It's a cat lady. Yeah. I didn't know Marvel and DC. I didn't know any of that at that age.
For anybody who has a certain allegiance, Catwoman came first. Batman number one, 1940. Okay, correct. Continue.
Correct. But I was excited, I guess. Not keep your mind out of the gutter. I was excited to see Black Cat
in
Ultimate Spider-Man.
Now it wasn't in it. Now
and
it is.
And so for that reason, I think that was
good. I like that.
Now the Osborns are great.
Oh yeah,
other villains are great. But for some reason, Black Cat, just because I had that connection.
Okay, I agree with that. Okay, that's good. For me, unless you have another question.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
Yeah,
yours.
You were going to ask me. Okay, so I had a couple. There's a couple that I really like. Black Cat's good, though. I don't find that her origin is incredibly different. She has great moments with Peter because there's an age gap between
them
now.
And so that's
she's
like
in her late 20s and he's 15. And so like she has a crush on him not knowing that he's 15. He takes off the mask. She freaks out. It's a great scene.
It's awesome. Yeah.
It's awesome. And so reinvigorated characters. I love the new Uncle Ben and Aunt May, however you want to say it.
I love that, yeah.
Yeah, kind of like the cool hippie uncle and aunt kind of deal. I think Aunt May is a really good fleshed out character. Instead of like the doting aunt who worries about bills, there's a lot more to her.
Right, Rosemary Parker.
You know, a woman who wasn't a mom and all of a sudden it's kind of thrust upon her in this way. She didn't ask for it. It just kind of happened at the same, like, you know, and then her husband is killed. And so now she's a single mom raising a 15-year-old who's got angst issues amongst many other things. Yeah. And so I love them. I love the new look of the Rhino, the metal suit. That's also a great issue in which Peter is just trying to escape school so hard to go fight the Rhino who's tearing up New York, and he's just like, he just can't escape the building. It's one thing after another after another after another, and he finally gets there and Iron Man has saved the day.
Yes.
It's a great issue. It's like, well, it's actually issues like that made me really fall in love with the book to begin with. So I do like that. The Osborns, of course, I find Norman Osborn more menacing in Ultimate Spider-Man than I do in the regular 616 universe.
He's terrifying.
Yeah, Bendis really built up the split personality. This man is like crazy. Yeah. There's really almost no sympathy for this character, except with moments that's like, spoiler alert again, I mean, read it.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, he kills his son and he's aware of it, but he's not aware of it. And it's just like, oh, it's great. It's all good stuff. And so I do like the new looks for the goblins. I am a big hardcore fan of purple and green glider purse carrying goblin. But I really do like Monster Goblin, actual, like, Hulk powered, horrifying. It is cool. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm going to say my favorite redone character origin is the Shocker.
Ooh.
Okay. All right. You ready? Okay. So the Shocker in the book is a joke villain. Okay. He's just always like, he's got a stupid, I mean, his costume in the regular 616 universe isn't great to begin with. Yeah. It's like this padded yellow thing,
right,
to protect him from his good vibrations. But he's wearing like this purple thing with this kind of high collar and everything like that. And Spider-Man is always just like, Herman, what are you doing? Your name is Herman.
Like, let's start there.
Why are you even a supervillain? You know? And so I like that progression. I love that redo of the villain, but then it builds to this point so late into the run of Spider-Man, Ultimate Spider-Man, that like Shocker actually captures Spider-Man and like legitimately tortures him. Mm-hmm. It was a great little arc for like a throwaway character that built into something totally awesome.
And that's something that I think that Bendis is really good at. Is like turning these like nothing characters into something interesting.
Yep, I agree. It's almost like the Geoff Johns in that way.
That's true.
Turning in nothing characters into something interesting.
That's very true.
I think Geoff Johns for over at DC is very good at that. I mean, even just talking Ultimate Spider-Man, not talking Ultimate Comic Spider-Man that came after or anything like beyond that. Dude had 11 years of just Ultimate Spider-Man. Yep. That's a long time.
Hell of a long time.
And he's still writing.
Yep.
It's great. He's been 14 years of writing one solid book. I mean, eventually it's going to be some kind of record if he doesn't leave it. And
definitely, yeah.
If he leaves it, I just want the book to be canceled. Truthfully, I want it.
Yeah, I don't want to see it written by anybody else.
To me, it's his opus.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I feel like every month he pours his creative juices into. You know what I mean? He does other great things for sure, and but this to me is always the key. All right. Do you have favorite moments?
Pretty much any moment involving Peter and MJ.
Are you thinking specifically issue 13 in which he reveals his identity to her?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I'm going to talk about Mark Bagley for a second.
Why do they? Okay, just yeah. You talk first.
Okay.
No, I want you to talk first. And then
Mark Bagley is one of the hardest working people in comics. He could put out a monthly book like nobody's business. And I've read him on other things, and it wasn't always my favorite. He's not up there with a lot of other people for me. But he is consistently put out a 22-page book on a monthly basis, which is really hard. That's a lot of work.
Oh yeah.
If you're an artist, you understand. Sometimes you could take days on one panel, and you're supposed to fill 22 pages of minimum, well, splash page one panel.
Yeah, yeah. But like, you know, realistically, like five or
three,
six,
four, panels. Five, six, seven, yeah. Eight, nine, 10 panels going all the way through. That's hard work. And so, but he's a master of body and facial expressions. He just the way that they move and react to one another, it's not static in any way. They feel like real people, and I give him a lot of credit. When Stuart Immonen came over and took over from Mark Bagley when Mark Bagley did Justice League at DC, yep. I was like, who is this Stuart Immonen person?
Who is this guy?
I do not like his art, like which is because it was so different. I was so used to Bagley. Disclaimer, Stuart Immonen is also a great artist.
He's great.
And a master of body language, yes. And everything like that. Anybody who's come across Ultimate Spider-Man, they are masters of body language and facial expressions.
True.
That is what Bendis is good at. It's what he writes for, and it's what his artists draw very well.
Yep.
Issue 13, where Peter reveals his identity to MJ, it's just their reactions to each other. The whole thing takes place inside Peter's bedroom. The whole issue. Well, at least in Peter's house.
Yeah.
But it's all – when you can be captivated by 22 pages of – two 15-year-olds talking inside somebody's room, just
yeah.
Like sitting in chairs and on a bed, be like, oh, blah, 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 blah. That's good writing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
I mean,
great
it's
great art.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nothing actually physically happens.
No, because like, they're 15 and
there's no
appropriateness.
I meant, like, there's no action,
action
scenes.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, he didn't get any action, but that's a different story.
No. Because Aunt May comes in, no hanky panky.
It's
like, we're not doing hanky panky. Yeah.
Yeah, no. But like, there are no, you know, no violence, no action scenes. It's just a conversation. It's just a conversation between these two characters. But it's so well done that, like, I feel like any other book, I'd be bored. I would be bored with an entire issue that just takes place in one room or one house. But it works. It works and in large
of their craft.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in large part because of Mark Bagley.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. I agree.
Obviously because of Bendis, but in large part also because of Bagley.
My favorite superhero books are ones when nothing happens. That would be like when a book is 22 pages of action, sometimes I get bored. I love when you can, because I like the characters. It's not just about the action. It's about the characters.
Yeah.
I want to see growth and I want to see development and I want to, most of the time I want to laugh a little bit.
Yeah.
And so he just kind of, that series just fills all of those bills consistently all the way through.
Yeah.
Okay. So anything with MJ and Peter, definitely high mark moments. Continue. Do you have any other high mark moments? Because I have a couple.
I mean, I have lots, but why don't you...
Okay, I'm going to have two, and then I'll go back to you. One is this kind of also fits into a reintroduced character, what they did with Gwen Stacy. Goth, punk.
Yes, I was going to say Gwen Stacy.
Rebellious, like, she's just so cool. I love it. I just love every second that Gwen Stacy is there. They've kind of moved away from that a little bit. She's gone away from her punky stage in the books. Just because a lot has happened to her and there's no, she's grown and developed as a person. Same way. But she has a great introduction in which she's like basically leaning up against a brick wall in the schoolyard. And she's like, everybody's got a superpower. You're good at math. You're good at science. You're good at running. That's your superpower. Mm. You work at what you're good at. Mm. It's like, in its own way, a good inspirational speech for a kid who brings a knife to school. You know, like, ta-da. It was good. I like that. I'm also going to talk about going way early into the beginning of the series, the second arc of the story, Electro and the Kingpin, in which...
Oh, yes. Yeah,
the Electro is just like a henchman for the Kingpin, basically. Yes. It's nothing big. But there's a scene in which Peter shows up with note cards with the Kingpin. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
and he's like, I prepared these for you. You're so fat that they tried to push you back in the ocean when you were sunbathing. And like, he kind of just keeps going with these things. Oh, it makes my life in that moment. There's also one in which the first fight with Electro, he gets like, he's out the window and he lands on the, it's a moment by moment. You can tell that I quite possibly, I'm going to get, okay. I teach a comic book class for work, and so I know you're all jealous. And so I want to get a little bit into the, you know, the art of of it. But
please,
there's different comic transitions, different panels, different ideas of motive. There's one moment to moment in which very little transition happens between each panel. And so, but there's a great moment to moment in which Peter is... He's on the side of a building at a party and everybody's looking at him. Or there's nothing. And then he's on the window and everybody's looking at him. And then he's gone because he falls. And everyone just goes exactly back to what they were doing before. And it just kills me every time. I just like, is that like almost like, it's like the Monty Python-esque, like, she turned me into a newt.
I got better.
Yeah, it's exactly what it's like to me. It's that beat by beat comedy that I just love so much. And so anyway, so you have others, so go ahead.
Doc Ock.
Okay, explain.
Anything involving Doc Ock in this series.
A good explanation.
I mean, Otto Octavius is really, I mean, it's an easy go-to Spider-Man villain.
Go-to bad guy.
Yeah, go-to bad guy. And he's, you know, one of the most popular of Spider-Man's rogues gallery, but I really love what they did with him in this series. I love the connection to the Osborns.
I love all the connections to the Osborns. Something the Amazing Spider-Man films really took and carried
it is
with
taking
them.
That, yeah. In this version, he's one of the Osborn. He works for Oscorp. He's like a scientist for Oscorp, which makes perfect sense. He's always a scientist, but to make him work for Oscorp is just a solid, good move. Natural progression. And he's supposed to be this like scary, smart guy. Anyway, you know, long story short, cybernetic arms, mayhem, all that.
Right.
But I just love that twist on the character. And I love, you know, it actually kind of reminds me of Alfred Molina's portrayal in the in the movies where he's a sort of venerable figure.
Yeah.
Super smart guy, nice guy.
Dr. Otto Octavius will prove to you with my science that I am a glorious bastard. You know, like, not so much that style. Though I like that Doc Ock.
I like that too.
But
it has its place.
It has
But here, it's much more of it's like, hey, Peter, you know, how are you? And then he goes crazy. But like, I really,
Yeah, actually, there's a lot of
that about
there's
him.
A lot of good stuff with that. There's a lot of good stuff with that character all wrapped up together. There's a good dichotomy between him and Osborn where there's like this respect, but like rivalry at the same time.
Yeah.
And
there's
a lot of really good stuff there. And when he snaps, he snaps.
He snaps.
Yeah.
He snaps.
He snaps, which is great. I love the redo of Kraven the Hunter.
You know, that I didn't love that so much.
Why?
I don't care for Kraven.
And that's why I thought the redo was funny, because he gets like, he thinks he's so cool, but he's just he's a reality TV show. Then he gets powers and he's still
That's true. That was
out.
Funny. The reality show stuff was funny.
But I do like Kraven. I don't want to diss on Kraven. I actually do like that character.
I never care for Kraven. And, but that, I guess.
Kraven the Kraven. I love it. Yeah.
I think
I'm going to start a pun jar. I think.
A dollar in every time you use a pun.
A dollar? I'm going to be broke. I can't do it. Put a quarter, maybe.
No, a Kraven, I've never cared much for Kraven. You're right. I for a moment, I forgot. Yes, the reality show thing is funny, where he's just doing, he's always like, you know, just hamming it up for the cameras that are following him everywhere. But still, overall, I'm not crazy about that character.
Okay. All right.
As a rule, if I had to pick a Kraven, that would be the Kraven I'd pick.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But
Well, we're a little bit out of time.
Yeah.
There's more that I would like to really talk about. We didn't even touch upon Miles Morales really as part of it. We didn't talk about the death of Spider-Man.
We basically talked like volumes 1-10.
We didn't really talk volumes 1-10.
Yeah.
And so maybe we'll come back.
Yeah, that'd be great.
We'll come back for the rest of it. We didn't talk about Cataclysm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cataclysm. Mm-hmm. For a second, I was like, no, that's the Batman earthquake, but nope. It's also the Batman earthquake, but not. Yeah. And so we'll be back to talk about other stuff for now. So any closing thoughts?
Well, I thought it would be really cool if we told people that we're on iTunes.
Oh, my God, we are.
Yeah.
How are they listening to us if they didn't know that, Frank?
I don't know, man. Well, I mean, there's other ways, but like,
tell me about those ways,
like
Frank.
Stitcher. Like Stitcher Radio.
Stitcher. I like Stitcher.
Yeah, and TuneIn. They can hear us in those places. But, so iTunes reviews would be mucho appreciated. We've gotten a few already, and we really are thankful
Great
for those.
Great reviews, actually. Yeah. We really do appreciate people's reviews.
They're,
They've been fantastic.
Yes.
Even just a star rating would be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can click on. It takes a couple seconds.
Yep.
It would be much appreciated. We'd like to get the word out there as much as possible.
Absolutely. And then Twitter at BeerWithGeeks or
Gmail,
BeerWithGeeks@gmail.com. Yeah, absolutely.
That was almost a jinx. You almost owe me a beer.
I don't.
But you don't.
But I don't.
But you don't. Okay, but clink with me, Frank.
All right.
All right.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, guys.
Until next time.
Cheers.
This podcast is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. All character names, sound effects, and quotes are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Thought Bubble Audio Studios, unless otherwise indicated.